Today's first reading is from Luke 12. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. The second reading is from Revelation 3. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you, Kaylee, for our scripture reading. You may know, or maybe you're visiting us in the new year for the first time, but here at St. Luke's, we have a mission statement that we say almost every week, and it really does guide who we are and who we believe God calls us to be. We say that we're an open community of Christians, helping people to find and give hope through Jesus Christ. And if you get Pastor Rob's weekly revelation, you may know that he's given us a particular invitation this week, one of the ways that we might be a sign of hope in our community here on the north side of Indianapolis. You may know that over the break, if you were gone, that there was an attack in New York on some of our Jewish brothers and sisters celebrating Hanukkah. And we have good, strong relationships with our Jewish congregations around us. And so outside of the donut room where you may head after worship today, there's a table with a letter that Pastor Rob has drafted just to offer our support as a Christian community to our brothers and sisters in those synagogues and congregations around us. If you'd like to go and add your name to that as a sign of support this morning, we'd encourage you to do that. So just something to be note of is one of the many ways we try to live out our mission together. Now, if you did happen to be with us last week, or maybe you were here during Christmas Eve and you've come back this morning, you may know that in our Advent journey, we took maybe a little different route than we've taken in the past, and we focused in on the words of prophets. What did these leaders have to say to us? People who often have to bring a hard word of truth to the people in the times in which they're living. Maybe folks who see the world in the way that God sees it, but that we struggle to. And so the last prophet that we ended with just last week was someone named Zephaniah, not a name that rolls right off the tongue, perhaps. But Zephaniah is speaking in a world in which there's a lot of uncertainty and fear. And yet, Zephaniah's word at the end to us is one of hope. It's the hope that God continues to come to us and to hope through us. And the most common way that God chooses to be hope in the world is to use people like you and me. Now, you may remember that I'm a resolution maker, and so I spent this last week thinking quite a bit about what are the resolutions I would make? What are the ways that I might be hope in this next year? And as Pastor Rob and I were talking about the power of resolutions, he suggested that maybe we start this year off by taking a slightly different tact or track, if you want to use that word. And so that's what we're going to explore together this morning. But as we begin our time and our message, would you join with me now in a word of prayer? Oh God, either through me or perhaps in spite of me, I pray that you would speak a word that each person here needs to hear, that they would have an encounter with you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're new at St. Luke's, you might not know, but in your worship guide is a sermon outline. And so that's a place where you can take some notes. Again, it may not be something I say. It may be a thought God prompts you with. But if that's helpful to you, I just want to encourage it as a practice that you might engage in. So, as we begin, at the top of your outline, you'll see a blank that you can fill in, and it goes something like this. Have you ever heard of these letters put together, W-O-T-Y, WOTY? Does anybody have any idea what WOTY might stand for? Any ideas? I heard it over here. All right, a few of you who are maybe a little more up on social media might say it's the word of the year. You get it? The letters, the abbreviation, okay, the word of the year. And so rather than maybe a specific resolution, as I'm often one to make, the word of the year is kind of like holding up an intention or something that you're going to try to keep in front of you that would shape the goals that you set and the way that you move through the year that is to come. And so this got Rob and I thinking, what might Jesus' word of the year be for you and I in 2020? Now, of course, we can't actually know this for sure. We don't have Jesus to pull up a chair next to us and say, hey, what do you think my word of the year should be? But it did get Rob and I trying to imagine what this could be. And as we were, we came across a specific passage in the Gospels where Jesus gives a pretty clear directive to his followers about what it might look like to try to live with an intention every day. You see, the phrase that Jesus uses is that they're supposed to be watchful in the passage that Kaylee read for us. In fact, Jesus uses a particular metaphor to give us what this idea of watchful even really looks like. He says it this way, that we are servants of a master who has gone to attend a wedding banquet. Now, Jesus probably chose the example of a wedding banquet because unlike today, when you were to go to a wedding back in Jesus' time, you didn't know how long the wedding was going to last. See, this is a multi-day party, all right? As if you started on New Year's Eve and you're still going right now, which might be true for some of you. So you wouldn't know then, if you're the servant, when the master is going to come back from this wedding banquet, would you? You'd have to stay alert and watchful, maybe even open to when this master might arrive. And our scripture reading, in fact, puts it this way in verse 36, that at any moment the master might show up, and we want to open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. So as we were thinking about 2020, a year where it feels like as we look ahead, we have a national election, we have a general conference, we have lots of big things about which we are pretty uncertain, that maybe open might be a good word for us to think about. What I like about open is it feels a little stronger to me than being just watchful. You see, because open to me means that I have to have an invitation, maybe a posture to see it how God might be at work, even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of having to wait for some of these things. So what if Jesus' word of the year for us in 2020 might be the word open? How might a posture of openness change us? But before I get too far down this road, I want us to stop for just a second to think, what does the word open even mean anyway? How would we know what this posture looks like? Well, Bob Goff tells a story in his book Love Does that might give us a quick illustration of this. You see, Bob Goff, early on in his career and throughout it, has continued to be a lawyer, though he's had many different jobs. And Bob talked about how when he was counseling one of his clients who was going to be a witness and have to take the stand and testify, he would always say to them, when you're up there talking and being asked these questions by the other attorney, you always want to make sure that you keep your hands open. Because you see, if you keep your hands open when you're testifying, you're less likely to get defensive or resentful or afraid. His insight is that it's hard to get to be reactionary, right? When you speak with your hands open. So think about this for a second. When is it that you typically clench your fist? It's when you're angry, right? Or maybe when you're stingy or resentful. When you get disappointed, we clench our fists. And sometimes we clench our fists when we're angry, and that can be appropriate, of course. But what happens if we're holding on to anger? Guess what? It prevents us from being open to anything else, doesn't it? So I want us to just try this for a second to make sure you really get what I mean here. So go ahead, make a fist, tighten them as hard as you can, right? And notice what changes for you. Do you feel yourself getting a little more anxious? Maybe you're not listening as well? Okay, you can stop now. Really, you're making me a little anxious. So let's just let that go. But now try the opposite posture. Open your hands like this. Maybe even put them on your legs or something, just to stay open for a minute. What feels different? Are you more relaxed? You breathe a little easier? Maybe there's more space? You see, when we're open, we're calmer. We're more receptive, aren't we? Now think about what this might mean for us and our faith lives. What would it mean if we were to live with an open attitude, open for how it is that God would show up? Well, we start the new year, don't we? And we think about it as a time for setting an intention or picking a resolution. And last week, I shared how I really believe that resolutions are good, in part because even when I miss the mark, when I don't actually achieve my goal by year end, I still end up making progress in a particular direction. But the downside sometimes of setting goals or having resolutions is that we can obsess about them. And sometimes the most important things in our lives aren't things we thought of in January that we needed to put on our list, are they? Sometimes it's really the interruptions that come along the way, the things that weren't anticipated, where we really see God at work. I'll give you one little example of this that happened when I was a teenager. You see, I attended a very small and rural United Methodist church when I was growing up. There weren't a lot of kids, and there were certainly not a lot of youth. And so my freshman year of high school, our pastor got this invitation for some youth from our church to go to a gathering of youth from other churches. It was called a district youth event. And so I went because I was looking for friends, and I didn't have very many in the place I was growing up. Now, at first, I just went to a meeting, and then I got invited to go to a week of camp. And it was there and through this group that I really was challenged for the first time to kind of own my faith, to figure out what it really was that it meant for me. Now, this will shock some of you, but when I went to this camp and then got to be a part of this youth council, I actually met a girl through this process. And of course, the girl's stepfather was the choir director at this place called Albion College, which was a college that was not at all on my list at that point in my life. But because I went on to attend Albion College, you see where this story goes, I met another girl whose name happens to be Megan, who is now my spouse, all right? Now, certainly I did not go to college thinking that this was exactly how it was going to happen, nor did I sign up for this youth council because I thought this is where my story was going to lead. And just to be fair, I did cut out a whole bunch of stuff and how Jesus was at work in this story in the in-between, okay? It wasn't like A plus B equaled C. And yet, because I was open as a ninth grader to how my faith might grow and what it might look like, one door kind of opened and it led to another and another. And God kept appearing along the way. Perhaps it wasn't a goal that I ever set for myself, right? And yet, that openness is a posture that we are invited to take. So what might it look like for you in 2020 to live with an openness to God, to the unexpected things that God might present? Well, it could mean, if you're following along in your outline, that we are open in this year to hearing God's voice. Recently, Pastor Rob received an email from a church member who was moved to share his story with us in response to one of the sermons that we preached in the season of Advent. I want to share part of his note with you now, with his permission. This story begins on November 17th, 2011. This young man was lying on the floor in my apartment, he says, slowly waking up from another drunken bender. I had been an everyday drinker for over 6 months and a binge drinker since I was 17. I was convinced that alcohol and poor decisions were the only options for coping with reality. I had struggled with identity issues my entire life. And he goes on to share more about that struggle and the condemnation that he even felt in the church. And then he continues, "As I was waking up from a blackout, I felt sick. The room was spinning, and I could not stand up. I laid there, and in the still quietness, I heard a voice ask, 'Are you done yet?' I was alone. Nobody was in that small apartment with me, and yet I heard that question as clear as day, 'Are you done yet?' I sighed, and I looked up at the ceiling, and through tears, I said, 'Fine. We'll do this your way.' The next day, I checked into the Fairbanks Hospital here in Indianapolis, and I've been sober ever since." And he goes on to share that becoming willing was the key in his story, that the moment a person is willing to open themselves up to God, God is faithful to show up, to meet us in that place every time. Now, certainly the man whose story I'm telling you didn't describe himself as open prior to that moment. He didn't plan to be open, did he? But in the end, he made a choice, and he was. In the book of Revelation, in our second reading, chapter 3, verse 20, we get these words from Jesus. He says, "Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice, and you're willing, and you open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me." This scripture is one that's fairly famous. It's been captured in several prominent works of art. And we actually have a copy of this very picture that hangs in the vestry. It's the little room we go into in the sanctuary before we come out to help lead worship for any one of our services. But this picture depicts this very scripture verse of Jesus standing at the door and knocking, wondering if we are willing to invite him in. What's interesting about this picture, if you look at it closely, is that there's no doorknob on the outside of this door. There's only a doorknob on the inside, as if Jesus isn't going to force his way in, right? But is instead waiting for us to see if we will open the door, that it requires openness for God to come into our lives. What if you were open to hearing from God this year? What would you have to do to put yourself in a position where this could happen? Would you commit to a regular quiet time? Would you start keeping a journal of prayer requests and how God answers them? Maybe you'd read your Bible more to hear from God through Scripture. Or maybe you'd hang on to the sermon outline and pull it out at lunch one day a week just to see how God might speak to you through it. The list is endless, but what would help you this year to being open to hear God's voice? Now, we might also need to be open to encountering God through others. And sometimes I have to tell you this is hard, because the people that God often wants to use in our lives aren't the people that we would necessarily choose to associate with. I can remember back when Megan and I lived in Nashville, Tennessee, just how true this was. You see, we had a house in what would often be described as a transitional neighborhood. And so there were some low-income apartments just next door to us and public housing not too far, maybe a block away. And so it was a regular occurrence a couple of times a month where somebody would stop by our house or wander through the yard and ask us for money, for some way to get financial support. Now, living in this neighborhood for a while, I had gotten to know a man who lived down the street whose name was Barry. Barry lived with his mom, and one day I happened to be outside working in the front yard, and Barry walked by and said to me, "Eric, would you give me $5? Now, I looked at Barry and I said, "Barry, what do you need $5 for? I mean, really?" And in a rare moment of honesty, Barry just said to me, "Well, Eric, I need $5 because I want to go down to the corner store and buy a beer." And I thought, well, that's honest at least. And then in one of those moments, and I just said to him, "Barry, I'm not going to give you $5 for a beer. I'm sorry. That's just not going to happen." But then I stopped, and I had one of those moments that can only happen when God sort of speaks to you. And I said to Barry, "Barry, I tell you what, if you'll go have a seat on my front porch, I'll be right back." And so I went inside my house, and I came back out with two beers. And I said to Barry, "If you'll sit here and have a conversation with me, I'd be glad to give you a beer." Now, my spouse, I have to tell you, is watching this happen from our kitchen, and she has all kinds of questions for me when I get back inside the house, just to be fair about how this really went down. And yet, because I was open to a guy named Barry, who I maybe didn't have a lot in common with, later that year when I went home on Christmas Eve between a couple of the services at our church to walk our dog, and I'm walking down the street at 9 o'clock at night, Barry comes running out of his house. And he says to me, "Pastor, would you pray with me?" And so there, holding hands under a streetlight, I had a moment on Christmas Eve that can only be described as what probably it was like for Christ to come and live among us. It's totally unexpected. It gave me a whole new meaning for Christmas. But it only happened because I was open in an earlier moment, right, to how God might want to encounter me through someone else. I think God often interrupts us in this way, right? That's the way that God uses other people. Now, having open as our word for the year might also mean something else for us. It might also mean that we have to be open to releasing our resources. Now, the closer we get to God, I think the more challenged we become to loosen our grip on the things that we have and to put and place our resources in God's hands. And this is the wonderful thing, really, about God. You see, God never forces us to open our hands. Instead, God doesn't wrestle things away from us. God gives us blessings and says they're ours. But for God to use them, we have to be open, right? And because not God's nature is to give, we can't be close to God without some of God's values beginning to rub off on us. Now, I am grateful for the generosity of this church. I just have to say that. So many of you give sacrificially, and yet this 2019 has been a challenging year. For the first time since I've been here, in 2019, our expenses, our income does not exceed our expenses. Normally, we end the year in a surplus. We have every year that I've been here, and that extra income allows us to invest in our building or to give to special mission projects, to increase our staff or to offer bonuses. And yet, that didn't happen this year. We're even behind enough in our pledges for 2020 that we might have to make some significant cuts to our budget. Now, one reason that we believe this is the case is because of the static that's been created in our denomination in 2019. We put ourselves out there as a church this year. We said that we aren't just going to be open to LGBT persons coming into our doors, but we're going to work for full inclusion and rights in the church and for everyone. And that, on some level, has cost us. But our leadership here at St. Luke's has held fast. They've said, we believe that this is the right position. And we don't take this view because we're trying to run anybody off, just the contrary. In fact, we believe we're stronger for the diversity of perspectives and opinions that we have here. But we take this position because we believe fundamentally that it's the right thing to do and that it honors God's vision for the church. If we didn't believe this, we wouldn't do it. And I share this with you today for one reason, to keep you informed about the honest state of affairs here, to try to be open and transparent, but also to make a plug. If you haven't turned in a pledge card and you believe that what the world needs is more open communities of Christians like St. Luke's, then we would ask you to support us. Your pledge does make a huge difference. It's how we build our budget. Maybe this year you look and you say, I'm able to release more of what I was holding on to than I expected. And supporting St. Luke's mission might be one way that you would do that. This is certainly going to be a big year in the United Methodist Church. And St. Luke's is going to be fully invested in supporting our denomination. And I know that for us to be as faithful as we can to God's work that's before us, it will only happen because faithful people like you and like me will open up our hands. Be open to a God who is going to come and knock and invite us to invite him in. Maybe for you, it's not the church, but there is some place where God is going to ask you to be more open. Somewhere where loosening your grip on what you have will enable God's mission to go forward. That your resources might be used to support this wider work of what God is doing. Now, as I close, there's one more area that I want to invite us to be open to. Open to God's assignments. You see, Jesus in our scripture passage describes us as servants, right? Who, when we hear the knock at the door, are invited to open it. And then Jesus goes on in verse 37 to say this, "For truly I tell you, the master will fasten his belt and sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them." When we, the servants, open the door in our lives to the master, guess what? The master actually comes in and serves us. It's this dramatic role reversal that we couldn't really have expected. This fits, though, what we know about Jesus, doesn't it? That when he came to serve us and not be served. The Gospels record this again and again, whether he's washing Peter's feet or whether he's willing to go for us to the cross. So when you talk about service and those who serve in significant ways, when you talk with folks, I've discovered time and time again, whether it's a volunteer at the Crooked Creek Food Pantry or someone who goes on a big mission trip, they always say something familiar, don't they? I got so much more out of this than what I gave. And I think that's really true. You see, if we're open to God's assignments, to where God wants to use us, we generally find that our roles do get reversed. That God ends up doing much more in our lives than we feel like we're doing for someone else. So as we launch into 2020, perhaps open might be the word of the year for you. That it might be a posture that we take rather than a long list that we make or something we're trying to hold on to. You see, John Wesley in the early days of the Methodist movement had a prayer that he felt like embodied the spirit of openness. He would invite Methodists to say it at the beginning of every year. I know people who pray this prayer every single day. And I want to commend it to you as something that might help in the year ahead to keep life in perspective when you're tempted because of whatever has just happened that day to go home and clench up your fists. It's called the Wesley Covenant Prayer, and it reminds us at the end, that in the end, you and I, we're God's if we're open to it. The prayer that I want to invite us to pray, Wesley's Covenant Prayer, is on your outline, if you've got that. It's also going to appear on the screen behind me. And so I'd like to invite us now to pray this prayer together, if you would. Would you join with me? I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside by thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen and amen.